So we're ready when the kill time comes. Wide awake in bed, words in my brain. Hey everyone, it's DJ Jazzy J, and welcome to Tasty Time, where we pair our food with our mood here on Penguin Radio. I'm here every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m., so tune in for the next hour while I bring you tasty and easy recipes, restaurant critiques, and much more. Every Thursday, we will discuss things that might help the average cook do some great things in the kitchen. So today's question of the day that's going to prompt you to stay till the end of today's show is, these small legumes of the pea family are grown for their seeds, which may be dried and used in soups and stews, and are also ground into a flour. The plant itself is used as fodder. It is most likely the oldest cultivated legume and is believed to be native to southwestern Asia, perhaps northern Syria. Seeds have been found in Egyptian tombs dating from the 12th dynasty, and there is also evidence of their cultivation as early as 6000 BC. They were widely cultivated throughout Asia, parts of Europe, and North Africa, and more than 5 million acres are grown worldwide. They are a staple in much of the Middle East and India. They are rich in protein and carbohydrates and are a good source of calcium, phosphorus, iron, and B vitamins. They are found in various colors, white, green, red, yellow, brown, and orange. The Latin name is the origin for the name of a certain piece of glass. Name this legume. So if you stay till the end of today's show, you will hear the answer to that question of the day. Today's random helpful tip of the day is actually just to, it's not really a tip, it's more of just like something, a little piece of wisdom to share with you guys today, or something to tell you guys to do today with your families. So I just want to ask you guys to, you know, maybe if you're out there and you have a family of your own right now, just ask you guys to go home and cook with your family. That's what I really want you guys to do today, is to go home and cook with your family, because that's something that I enjoyed as a kid. So, and I still enjoy now. I still cook with my family all the time. So go home, make dinner with your family instead of going out. It's a much more rewarding process. So that is my tip of the day for you guys. Today's first easy recipe, the family dish, I called it Mama's Mashed Potatoes. The ingredients are potatoes, sour cream, cream cheese, butter, paprika, seasoned breadcrumbs, garlic powder, and salt and pepper. So the way you make this is, first you boil the potatoes until you can poke them with a fork and they start to break into pieces, or it's just like a little more like mushy. Then you're going to drain the water out and put the potatoes in a separate bowl and use either a hand masher or a fork to mash the potatoes in the bowl. And then you're going to add a stick of butter and a tub of sour cream and a stick of cream cheese. And then you're going to mix all of that until it's combined. And then you're going to want to add garlic powder, salt, and pepper to taste. And then mix that together and get it to the right flavor that you guys want. And then you're going to get an oven-safe Pyrex dish and scoop the mashed potatoes mixture into the dish. And then you're going to add the breadcrumbs, the seasoned breadcrumbs. The reason I use seasoned breadcrumbs and not just regular is just because it gives it an extra flavor and it's got herbs in the seasoning. So it just tastes a lot better that way. So you're going to put those on top. And then you're going to cut up some cubes of butter and put that on top. And it's going to help it brown really evenly. And then you put paprika on top of all of that. And paprika is a browning kind of seasoning, I guess. It doesn't really season much to me, at least, but to put that on top, it browns whatever it's on top of. So you're going to put that on top, and then you're going to put it in the oven and bake it for 45 minutes covered in aluminum foil at 375. And then the last 15 minutes, you take the aluminum foil off and let it continue at that same temperature for another 15 minutes. And what that's going to do is that's just going to, like, once you take off the aluminum foil, it allows the top to brown, like I said, with the paprika and the breadcrumbs. So that's Mama's Mashed Potato recipe. And this week's magazine cookbook dish is inspired by the Pioneer Woman.
And I actually did kind of a take on maybe like a lunch or a dinner. I did three different recipes kind of in this one section. So the first recipe is for bellinis. So the ingredients are 1 cup of sugar, 1 pound of 1 pound bag of frozen peaches, the zest of 1 lemon, and champagne or sparkling wine for serving. So the way you're going to make this is make a simple syrup by adding the sugar and 1/2 cup of water to a very small saucepan and heating it over a low heat until all of the sugar is dissolved. Then you're going to transfer it to a container and allow it to cool completely in the fridge. And then grab the bag of frozen peaches and the lemon zest and add them to a blender with the cold, simple syrup. Then you're going to blend it until smooth in the blender. Then you want to place the blender pitcher in the fridge until you need it. And then to serve, you pour some puree into you're going to pour the puree into a champagne flute and top off with some very cold champagne or sparkling wine. So it's kind of and this is also a really good dish to make like virgin for kids also. So you just don't add the champagne or sparkling wine. You would add some like 7-Up or sparkling water or something instead for them. But this is just kind of like a nice kind of a springtime cold drink that you could make for lunch or dinner for your family, or just even if you live alone, you can. That's a nice way to settle down for the evening, or you can make it at lunchtime. So the next recipe is for homemade black pepper potato chips. So the ingredients are 6 Yukon Gold potatoes unpeeled, canola oil or vegetable oil for frying, and kosher salt and black pepper. So the way you're going to cook this, you're going to wash and clean the potatoes in cold running water. Use a mandolin or a vegetable peeler. Finally, slice the potatoes into chips. Then you're going to drop the chips into a bowl of ice water as you work to prevent them from getting brown. So you keep it in ice water so that the potatoes don't brown or get like soggy or weird. So this will also remove any excess starch as well from the potatoes. So then in a heavy Dutch oven, heat oil to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. And when it's hot enough, you lay the potatoes on a baking sheet lined with paper towels and blot them with more paper towels to dry them because you want them to be drier because they can't cook as well with all that moisture. So then you're going to lower batches of potatoes into the oil using a spatula, and they will fry very quickly, so you need to stir with a heavy metal spoon as they fry to get them to be the kettle style. So then you're going to remove them with a slotted spoon when they're nice and golden and crisp, about 5 minutes it takes to really fry them and get the kettle cooked like texture, I guess. So then you're going to immediately sprinkle on some salt and lots of black pepper and repeat with the rest of the potatoes. So then you're going to serve very soon after frying, so they're still hot. So the next recipe is for it's for the Marlboro sandwich, and this is actually a recipe from, like I said, the Pioneer Woman. So all three of these recipes are the Pioneer Woman, and later on in today's show, I'm going to talk about who the Pioneer Woman is and what she does. So this recipe is for like a steak sandwich. So the ingredients for this one call for 2.5 pounds of cubed steak, tenderized round steak. That's the best. That's been extra tenderized, works the best. And then sliced onions, then butter, Lawry's seasoned salt, Worcestershire sauce, and Tabasco. And those are going to give the best flavor. So how you make this is you start by slicing the onion, and then next you're going to melt a 1/4 a stick of regular butter in a skillet, and then you're going to add onions. So then you're going to stir it together and cook it over medium-low heat, stirring occasionally until the onions are soft and light brown, about 7 to 10 minutes, depending on your onions, I guess, and the heat of your pan. So while the onions are cooking, you're going to go ahead and slice the meat into strips. And now you're going to season the meat with a nice sprinkling of the Lawry's seasoning, and it's just going to give extra flavor. So then you're going to transfer the onions from the skillet to a plate. And now it's time to cook the meat. So while the onions are resting, you're cooking the meat. So you're going to add 2 tablespoons of butter to the same skillet, then turn it on high heat. Now you're going to add the meat to the hot skillet in a single layer. But don't stir the meat. You're going to let it sit there and cook on the bottom side. So then you're going to use a spatula and flip the meat to the other side. Once the meat is brown, generously add Worcestershire sauce. And that's also going to give, it's going to, I think it's going to just, like, the reason I use Worcestershire sauce is obviously for the flavor, but also for the salt content. So instead of salting something, you can use the Worcestershire sauce. Plus, it, like I said, it gives a nice flavor to whatever you're using or whatever you're putting it on. So you're going to add the Worcestershire sauce, and then you're going to start with about 1/2 cup. And then you can add more just depending on the way it tastes. But start with 1/2 cup. And then next, you're going to add the Tabasco to taste. And then you're going to add another 2 tablespoons of butter. So don't shy away from the butter. next, you're going to add the onions in again. And then on the side, you're going to get the rolls. So your sandwich rolls. So this is a sandwich. It's a meat. It's a steak and onion sandwich. So then you can toast them. You can toast the rolls on a skillet. And then add the meat mixture to the bottom of the roll. And add some of the pan sauce on top. So it creates, it's just a little more moist. When you add the sauce right back on top of the meat and the onions, and then you're going to top the sandwich with the roll and serve. You could essentially add more things to this, recipe, like lettuce and tomato and any other kind of vegetable that you like, and you could put it on this sandwich, but that's just how the Pioneer Woman does it. And I also thought by giving you all 3 of these recipes, you could make the Bellini to drink the virgin version or the regular version if you're an adult, and then you could pair it with the sandwich and the chips, so you have, you know, your classic chips and sandwich and then your drink to go along with that. So the last recipe is the listener submitted recipe, and this one I like to call Mrs. P's homemade macaroni salad. So Mrs. P actually gave me the recipe, so I'm really excited to share it with you guys. I've made this before, however, it didn't turn out as well as she makes it. So the way you're going to start off, you're going to use 1 pound of salad macaroni or very small elbow macaroni, 1 bunch of green onions that need to be chopped, a half a cup of sweet pickle relish, 1 small can of sliced olives, 1/4 cup of parsley that needs to be chopped, 1/2 cup of celery chopped. Use the tender inside stalks and leaves and all. And then you're going to use 2 cups of the Best Foods Real Mayonnaise, 2 teaspoons of mustard, and start with 1 and add to your taste, and then salt and pepper to taste. So then the way you make this is you boil the macaroni according to the directions on the package, rinse in cold water, and then drain well. Then add all ingredients and add mayonnaise and mustard. And then you're going to chill at least overnight is much better. So you're going to chill it. I mean, you could essentially just chill it a couple hours before whatever you're making it for. But it's best to be overnight because all the flavor like settles in. So this serves actually about 10. And a little note is this recipe is very flexible. So if you prefer a dill taste, use a large Clausen pickle chopped in it will, instead of the relish, it'll give you a better like pickle flavor. And then some prefer red onions instead of green onions for a stronger taste. So but the only thing is, don't substitute other mayonnaise. It just won't taste the same. And I think that's maybe where I went wrong in my recipe and like my version of this recipe. So you definitely want to keep the mayonnaise the right one, so the real mayonnaise. So we're actually going to take a quick break. So we'll be right back with more Tasty Time, where we pair your food with your mood. I'm DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Painting Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So the song I'm going to play is called Geronimo by Shepherd. So here you go.
Can you feel it? Now it's coming back. We can steal it. If we bridge this gap, I can see you through the curtains of the waterfall. When I lost it, yeah, you held my hand, but I tossed it. Didn't understand you were waiting as I dove into the waterfall. So say Geronimo.
All right, everyone, we are back with Tasty Time. I'm DJ Jazzy J, and I actually have one of my fellow DJs here, so introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm DJ Throwback. How you doing, Jazzy J?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
So today we're just going to chat about some food things. So it's nice to have you here on my show. So I'm just going to get right into it. So the first question I have is, what is your favorite holiday's food? So if you had to pick a holiday, so for instance, like my favorite holiday is Easter. My favorite food from the East, maybe the Easter dinner would be like, I don't know, my mashed potatoes that I just reviewed on my, or not reviewed, but I talked about on my show. So if you had to pick a holiday and a food, what would it be?
Okay, well, my favorite holiday is definitely the 4th of July. And my favorite food for that holiday, man, I'm a big hot dog girl. I like hot dogs. So that's going to have to be my choice right there. Especially my mom makes chili for the hot dogs, and she makes a little lamb chili. And it's just like, oh my God.
Yum.
The best. Yeah.
Sounds good. So is there anything else that goes on top of the hot dog? You just eat it with the chili like that?
Sometimes I'll put cheese on it, tomatoes. Depends really on whatever toppings my mom puts out for 4th of July, you know?
Yeah. I like hot dogs too. They're really good.
Yeah.
And 4th of July is a really great holiday.
Yeah, not many people are like, oh, 4th of July is my favorite. I just like 4th of July because, you know, fireworks are cool. And it's a special time because, like, me and my family, we always get together, or, like, we'll get together with a group of friends and spend, like, the day together. It's just, it's fun because it's a really mellow holiday and it's not everybody's on edge. Like, you know, in Christmas, everybody's like, oh, I have to get a gift for everybody, or Thanksgiving, I have to cook something. It's like the most mellow holiday of the year, and that's probably why it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and you get to, like, have barbecue food a whole lot, too, and who doesn't like that, so.
Yes, barbecue food is the best.
Yeah, I agree. So, are you better at baking or cooking?
Ooh, I'm a pretty good baker. I actually, one year, I made my brother an ice cream cake for his birthday. That was the hardest thing I've ever baked, because frosting the thing while it's trying to keep it cold is not easy, but I think I'm a better baker than I am a chef.
That's really funny. So I kind of mentioned this last week on my show, and actually probably the week before too, but I'm better at cooking. And what I've realized was, like, the reason I think I'm better at cooking is I have more leeway and more just the ability to just do what I want instead of follow strict measurements.
Yeah.
So do you like being able to, like, follow the measurements better?
Definitely when it comes to baking, I like following measurements. But, like, the fun thing is for me when I bake, I put some extra stuff in sometimes. Like, if it's chocolate cupcakes, I'll throw in chocolate chips in the cupcakes after it's already kind of been baking for a little bit. So the chocolate chips kind of melt a little, so they're not completely baked in. Mm. So it'll be, like, fancy stuff like that. But I like that aspect of cooking, though, where it's like you could just throw things in and see what happens. That's the fun part of cooking. Sometimes that's why I said I'm not a good chef. It doesn't turn out the greatest, but hey, it works. It's food.
Yeah. And see, I'm just like, I wouldn't say I'm terrible at baking, but like I've told, for those of you listening, that I've said many times that my sister is the better baker of the family. And so I don't even think, even if it was just chocolate chips, I don't think I'd be able to just, like, add them in. I'd be too afraid to. I would probably mess it up somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely the chef of the family other than my dad. My dad's a really good cook. But my brother, oh my gosh, the kid can't cook for anything. The other, he made himself sick off of Hamburger Helper. Oh, and that's like the easiest thing to cook. So yeah. It's like, if you can screw up Hamburger Helper, you're out of the kitchen right now.
That's funny, because my next question was going to be, do you cook?
Yeah, I do. I do cook whenever I have like time or the ingredients. I'll sit there and I'll be like, hey, I'm just going to cook you guys dinner. And my parents will be like, oh, that's very nice of you.
Oh,
and
so yeah.
It's really cool.
And I think it's rewarding when you sit down to dinner and your family is like, oh, that was so good.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. That's like my thing. Like when I always make the dessert because my mom will be cooking and she'll be like, oh, I bought this. Do you want to make dessert? And I'm like, yeah. And like, they have that big meal and they're full, but they're looking at the cake or something that I made. And I'm like, I just have to have one bite. Yep. And it's just the best feeling when they're like, that one bite was just so worth it. Tomorrow I'm eating that for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing to cook. I actually like making this casserole. It's chicken broccoli casserole. And what it is, it's got mayonnaise, cream of chicken soup, chicken, broccoli, mushrooms, and it's all mixed together. What you do is you boil the chicken first, then you you cut it up into little pieces and throw it in a casserole bowl. You mix it. You mix the broccoli and the mushrooms together with the cream of chicken soup and the mayonnaise, and then you put that in a casserole bin, and then you sprinkle Ritz crackers and cheese on top, and it's like the best.
This sounds really good. Yeah. My mom would like love that dish.
It's really good. It's one of my favorites. My mom cooks it for me all the time, and I'm just like, yes.
Yum. Oh, I might have to try that out sometime. So who does the cooking in your house other than you?
Other than me.
Because you're not always there.
I'm not always there. I mean, my mom will cook. It's a trade-off between whoever's busy. Like, my mom will cook, and then my dad will take some of the cooking. And then I live with my grandparents, and so sometimes my grandpa will cook, depending on, like, the day and who's busy and who's home during dinner time. So that's kind of
that's fun. It makes cooking like a family effort.
Yeah, it's definitely a family thing, and it's kind of a toss-up because it's a surprise to see who's cooking and what's getting made for dinner.
Definitely. So did you grow up cooking with your family?
I did. I used to always be my mom's little helper and help her cook because my dad doesn't like to have anybody help him when he's in the kitchen. It's his domain.
Yeah.
It's like the one place where my mom's not telling him what to do. So he's like, everybody out, let me do it. If I need your help, I'll ask for it. And so it's like, all right. But watching him cook is probably more fun than watching my mom cook.
Definitely. That's funny.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing about cooking?
Oh, my favorite thing about cooking? Oh, I think it's kind of cool to see how everything mixes together and, like, can become one thing, where it's like random things that are pieces, like eggs. Who knew that eggs, cocoa powder, flour, and let's see, and what is it, a baking powder can make cake. Like,
yeah,
what kind of person decided to make that combination and put it in the oven and go, this tastes good. Yeah, you know, this is cake. I dub this cake.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Yeah. I think my favorite thing about cooking is, like, we touched upon it earlier, just the fact that, like, we're able to share it with other people. Yeah. And you kind of get that reaction from other people, like, oh, this is so good. And my favorite thing is when people ask me for the recipe, because then it's like, I have done well.
Yeah, it's like rewarding almost. You're like, yes, I did something good and people want it and more.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, when it's all gone, you know, it's good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. So while cooking, has anything you've cooked turned out to taste really bad or just didn't work?
Oh, yeah. There's been a couple of things.
Name one. Name your, like, most horrific story.
Okay. So I was trying to cook burgers one day for me and my brother, because over the summer we have to make lunch for ourselves. So I was making burgers and I was like, oh, you know, I'll make like a teriyaki barbecue burger and see how that comes out. And it didn't come out very nice. Like, I put pineapple on it too to see if it was like, oh, that'll make it like a Hawaiian teriyaki barbecue burger. No, worst combination ever. Like, the most saltiest, acidic thing in your life you're ever gonna eat. It was just bad. I was like, okay, just wash off the burger and just put some ketchup on it and you'll be fine.
Oh my goodness. What did you use?
I just used a normal burger, and then I kind of put it on the grill with some teriyaki on one side and then barbecue sauce on the other to see if, like, you know, the flavors would combine nicely.
Yeah.
And it just made it super salty.
Oh.
And then throwing the pineapple on it, and pineapples are super acidic.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made it, like, salty as heck.
Oh,
it was
no.
Bad. Yeah, your tongue was like, I can't take this. It was like going raw just from eating it.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Was there any, like, did that ever happen when you were baking?
When I bake, I don't think I've had big problems when I bake. The biggest problem I think I have is, like, when I'm decorating something and I misspell something. Like,
it'd be really funny.
Yeah. Like, I wrote happy bird day. I forgot the TH
birthday
on one of my friend's cakes. And I was just like, yeah, happy birthday. He was like, okay. I was like, I'm so sorry.
You should have just drawn a bird on it.
I was tempted to, actually. I almost grabbed, like, the Twitter symbol and drew it on there. Oh, but I wasn't great. That crafty. So
it might have worked out. You know, you never know.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Your friend might have laughed.
He's like, you know what? I made this cake for you at like 11 o'clock. So you have to be grateful.
Well, that's good, because I've definitely messed up quite a lot of things when I'm baking.
Oh, really?
Not so much when I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny because my grandmother, when we used to live with her before she passed away, and I was telling my friend this today. I used to leave choir practice early because mm-hmm. her broccoli was outstanding. And all she did was boil it and put olive oil, salt, and pepper on it. Mm-hmm. But there was one night where she had broccoli, and then she had made chicken. And I'm not even really sure what kind of chicken she was trying to achieve, but it ended up being more like chicken jerky. And I mean, I was younger, so I wasn't like what I am. I was probably like, I want to say like 12 or 13, mm-hmm. maybe younger. I sat there and ate like 4 pieces of chicken. It was like the best chicken I had ever had. And I was like, this piece of chicken that's like shoe leather turned out so good. And I didn't understand why. My grandma was mortified. She was like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. And like, this that was her like kitchen disaster, according to her. And it was like one of the best things I had.
that's so funny. My mom did the same thing with that casserole I was telling you about. So she sent my grandpa out to buy cheese, and he accidentally bought fake cheese that you can't cook, and that stuff burned the entire top of the casserole. And so, like, she kind of tried to scrape it off, and I was just like, okay, I came home from practice and I ate it, and I was like, this is actually pretty good. It gives it a little more crunch, but it wasn't too bad.
That's great.
It was really funny.
I just think, like, moments like that, you just gotta, like, stop and really laugh. I'm sure it wasn't very, like, I'm sure my grandma wasn't too happy about it. But, you know, some of those things just later on are funny.
No, you just got to make the best of it. Whenever it happens, happens. I mean, yeah. People make mistakes.
Yeah, and in the kitchen, I feel like, like, mistakes are, like, bound to happen. Because you're going to, like, eventually screw up something. But that's okay. It's part of, like, the practice and, like, doing it over and over again. And once you get the recipe down, I mean, it shouldn't be that big of a deal once you're, like, doing it over again.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's a lot of practice. It's like practice makes perfect, whether it comes to cooking or baking. It's like you got to just practice and get all your kinks out of it.
I guess I need to practice a lot more with baking.
Maybe have a buddy help you bake.
Well, yeah. It's usually my sister, but she usually just takes over because I'm like, I can't do this. And I'm just like, here, you do it.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite kind of food?
Oh my gosh, my favorite kind of food. Well, right now it's probably Asian food. I just really like Asian food. It's got lots of flavors and different kicks to it. So whenever I go out to Asian food, I like try something new on the menu. That's like my thing, is whenever I go out to dinner, I try not to eat the same thing every time. I like to try different things, and whether I like it or not, it's like, all right, well, now I know I won't order that again. So it's kind of something similar to that. But right now, Asian food's kind of my thing. It's got a weird kick, or sometimes it's got like this spice in there that you're just like, whoa. What is that?
Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah, I think my favorite kind of food is Mexican, just because, I don't know, I'm just a taco lover, and I don't know.
It's our Southern California roots, that's all.
Yeah, that's why. So what's your favorite food?
Like, just one?
Just one single item, whatever it is.
Okay. My one favorite food that I can never live without is ice cream.
I feel you, girl.
Like, if anybody's ever like, oh, let's go get ice cream, I'm like, yes, I'm the first one to be jumping up going, I've got my car, let's go. Like,
you want to go for ice cream today?
Yeah, I'm down.
I'm kidding, but, you know, yeah, I think my favorite, and people, like, laugh at me for it a lot, but one of my favorite foods is, I say that, you know, like, one of my favorite, because I don't know if I could choose.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite foods is Cobb salad, actually, and, like, everyone laughs. They're like, your favorite food is a salad? Like, what? But there are so many ingredients in the Cobb salad. Like, you've got egg, you've got bacon, you've got avocado, and all that just together. Just like, yes.
It's like breakfast, lunch, and dinner in a salad.
Exactly.
I can agree with you on that. Cobb salads are amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, and like one of the restaurants I go to, not religiously, but like often enough to, I know that's exactly what I want on the menu. Mm-hmm. They took it away and I'm so sad.
No. I know. I would be devastated if
I'm
that,
yeah.
Dang.
That's okay. I don't think ice cream's going anywhere.
I hope not.
Okay, so what was your favorite thing to eat as a child?
As a kid, my favorite thing probably was French fries. Just because I never got French fries a lot. And like on the weekends, or like if I was running from school to practice or something, my mom would be like, okay, we're going to McDonald's. I'm like, yes, French fries. I get so excited. Like, I'm getting French fries. Yay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, this is kind of similar to the last question, but what was a snack or like a food item that you ate as a child that you don't really see around anymore?
Outer Pops.
Yes, because I know you're DJ throwback, and I know you want to throw it back to some 90s foods for me. So,
okay, do you remember purple and green ketchup?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I never ate it because it freaked me out. But
I tried it once. It's like, it tastes like ketchup, but it's just so weird seeing it in a different color.
Yeah, I have to agree. Otter Pops. Yes. That is, wow. Yes. My middle school, or my elementary school, I mean, mm-hmm. K through 8, whatever. They used to do Otter Pop sales every day after classes, school.
That's awesome.
I miss Otter Pops.
I know my middle school used to do the same thing. We used to have a after school daycare, and they'd sell like Otter Pops and like Big Texas cinnamon rolls and all that crap. Ooh, that kids love to eat. So it's like, oh, I have to get an Otter Pop. It's only 25 cents. Let's go.
That's funny, because I babysit for a family who they always have Otter Pops in their freezer.
My so mom used to buy them in the packs from Costco, so it's like, yes.
You get like, what is it, like 48 in a pack, and you just last you forever.
Yeah, they last like the whole summer. My mom buys one at the beginning, and they're there till the end.
Yes, I love Otter Pops. Mm-hmm. I was also talking to one of my friends today about the 3D Doritos, and when my mom used to buy these for me, like every once in a while, not a whole lot, but like the little plastic Pringles containers.
Yes.
To bring to school with you.
Yeah.
I loved those. And I also really, like, I never seen them at all anymore. And they were my favorite, like, dessert or, like, snack when I'd go to the store mm-hmm. was Wonder Balls. Do you remember those?
Yes. I do remember those.
They were my favorite.
Those were actually really good. I remember, I think my mom would only let me get one or two because I'd be running around like a crazy child for the rest of the night off of a sugar rush.
Yeah.
So, but I do remember those. Those were awesome. And I had, I think, a purple sparkly Pringle pouch. And then
I think I had a purple one too. Yeah. Or like a green one or something.
Yeah, I think I had a green one. Or like it was green and had a purple cap or something. Yeah.
That's, I love childhood, like, the stuff of the 90s that you don't, like, these foods and things that you don't see anymore. I mean, they're more, like, snack items, really, but, like, I still see people, like, eating Lunchables and stuff, so we're good.
We're good.
We're good. That one's not fading out anytime soon. So, the last question I have for you is, do you want your partner to cook in the future?
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I wouldn't mind sharing the cooking kind of like my parents do. It's, I would like if he cooked, but, you know, that's kind of not my decision whether he cooks or not.
You weigh whether or not your partner cooks. Do you cook? Nope. Sorry. Bye.
Yeah, I know. How messed up would that be?
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. So I agree with you, I think. I actually do have one more question.
Yeah.
For people who think that they can't cook, mm-hmm. what advice would you give them?
Okay, somebody had to start cooking something somehow. Caveman, if a caveman can cook, you can cook.
I agree. That's a very good piece of advice.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, DJ Throwback, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Jazzy J.
All right, awesome. So I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thanks so much. So I'm actually going to take another quick break, and I'm going to play the song Ghost by Ella Henderson. So here you go.
My friends, had you figured out? Yeah, they saw what's inside of you. You tried hiding another you, but your evil was coming through. And these eyes sitting on the wall, well, they watch every move I make. Bright light living in the shade. Your cold heart makes my spirit shake. Ooh. I had to go.
Give up the gun.
Hey everyone, I'm back. This is DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Tasty Time, pairing your food with your mood here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So, before we took a break, we were talking to DJ Throwback about just some of her experiences in the kitchen and some things that went wrong in the kitchen that were funny stories or some really nice memories in the kitchen growing up. So, and we also covered some other recipes at the beginning of the show. And the first recipe was Mama's mashed potatoes. The second recipe was kind of a trio. It was a Pioneer Woman's Bellinis, and it was homemade black pepper potato chips. And the last one was the man's sandwich. So now we're in the segment I like to call Food Reviews You Can Use. And this segment, today we're going to be talking about Reed Drummond. So like I said, the three recipes at the beginning of the show were from the Pioneer Woman. And the Pioneer Woman is also known as Reed Drummond. So that's her real name. And she has a Food Network show, and she also has a plethora of cookbooks. But I'm going to be reviewing one of her cookbooks and also her show today. And she says she has a website, actually. It's a really interesting website. I don't know. I like it. It's called thepioneerwoman.com, and that seems pretty self-explanatory. But she says that on her website that I'm a desperate housewife. I live in the country. I channel Lucille Ball, Vivian Leigh, and Ethel Merman. Welcome to my frontier. And welcome to my frontier is kind of what she uses as her, like, catchphrase or, like, slogan, I guess, on her cooking show. She says, like, hi, I'm Reed Drummond, and I'm the Pioneer Woman. And she talks about kind of really briefly at the beginning of all of her shows that, you know, she's an, like, her other catchphrase is, like, I'm an accidental country girl. And then she says, welcome to my frontier. And so she's not only is she a chef, she's a writer, a photographer, a ranch wife, and a mother of four. And like I said, she has her own cooking show on the Food Network called The Pioneer Woman. And one of her cookbooks that I'm going to review today is called The Pioneer Woman Cooks, Recipes from an Accidental Country Girl. And the reason I think I really like Reed Drummond, she's kind of like, it's kind of more, she's more of a down-to-earth person, it seems. And like her show kind of portrays that. It's like Southern cooking or just like really hearty meals, because she has a husband that's a cowboy. And she kind of, like she says, she's an accidental country girl because she now is a mother of four, and her husband lives with her also. And their whole family, they live on a farm. And she came from Los Angeles. So she really went from big city to small town and like acres upon acres of land in like a millisecond from marrying her husband. And they're really cute together. And a lot of her show is like dedicated not only obviously to her recipes and things on the show, but it shows you guys like on the show about kind of like her background or her like private life, I guess, or whatever. But it's obviously filmed and put on TV. But it's kind of just, it portrays like her family in a normal, like everyday environment and setting. And like, because she has so much land, she has like a front house and like a back house where she has like parties and things. And, then they own like a full like ranch, and, they have cattle and chickens and everything like that. And so she gets a lot of her, like she gets like fresh eggs. Like that's cool. And she just raises a lot of livestock there. And you get to see that kind of throughout her Food Network show. And her kids are really cute, too. And sometimes she includes them in her show. So, like, there will be a recipe that she's making. Let's just say, like, I saw one on her website. It was, like, hand cookies. And so she, like, decorates them. And so, obviously, like, she has kids. And there are four of them, so they range in age, and that's something that they can all, like, as a family, take time out to do and, like, have fun with it in the kitchen. And I think that's really kind of the point of cooking when you're going to cook for a family or with your family, is just to kind of have fun with it and, like, you know, do you, you know? So her cookbook, like I mentioned, it's called The Pioneer Woman Cooks Recipes from an Accidental Country Girl. So like I said, she lived in Los Angeles. She met her husband actually in Oklahoma when she was going to Chicago. She was moving there. And she became, her slogan for the Food Network, like I said, is an accidental country girl. And I just think the cookbook has so many interesting recipes, and they vary from Southern foods. But most of the time, like I said, it's kind of just like hearty meals. And like even she like plays up salads, and so she'll add like steak to a salad, something like that. So if she's not really feeling like a really heavy meal, she can at least have something in there. And I don't know, like her, if she blogs also. So for those of you listening, like I said, her website is thepioneerwoman.com, and there she posts pictures of like her life and just like what, like she, the recipe for the man sandwich, that I got today is actually, I'm looking at it right now, and it has so many pictures of like each step in the process. So she really takes time to like for her fans and just for her regular audience, like show you exactly what she's doing. And like I've said before, I really like the picture process because when you have a picture to go off of, you know exactly what it looks like, because I really don't want to do something to mess up the recipe if I'm trying it out for like the first time. So pictures are really nice. And her blog is really cool. I've gone over it like numerous times, and I find the different recipes on it also. So I am actually going to talk about the question of the day again. So if you listen this far, awesome. Thank you for joining me. The question of the day, I'll repeat it. These small legumes of the pea family are grown for their seeds, which may be dried and used in soups and stews, and are also ground into a flour. The plant itself is used as a fodder. It is most likely the oldest cultivated legume and is believed to be the native of southwestern Asia, perhaps northern Syria. Seeds have been found in Egyptian tombs dating from the 12th dynasty, and there is also evidence of their cultivation as early as 6000 BC. They are widely cultivated throughout Asia, parts of Europe and North Africa, and more than 5 million acres are grown worldwide as of 1990. They are a staple in much of the Middle East and India. They are rich in protein and carbohydrates and are a good source of calcium, phosphorus, iron, and B vitamins. They are found in various colors, white, green, red, yellow, brown, and orange. The Latin name is the origin for the name of a certain piece of glass. So name that legume. So I kind of picked this question because I recently went home for the Easter weekend. So for those of you joining me back from last week's show, happy belated Easter. And when I was home, my family had a conversation at a restaurant about like beans and peas. And I just thought this was a really funny question, like just because it surrounded that conversation that my family had at home. So the answer is actually lentils. And they're called lens culinaris. And the shape of the lentil, round, flat, and convex, gives it its name to the glass lens. So I just thought this was a really funny question, just because it pertained to the conversation my family had over the Easter holiday. So I'm really thankful that you're listening this week, and I really hope that you had a great Easter. The Easter season is actually not over because it lasts for another like 40-something days, and it's springtime, so who doesn't like spring? And fruits and veggies are like really in season and ripe now. So go get all your fruits that haven't been ripe for a while, and stock up on those veggies. I recently, when I was home, I asked my dad when I was at the store to buy a bag of kale. And I actually, although I was jumping on the kale bandwagon, I really liked making kale chips. You just put olive oil, salt, and pepper, and bake in the oven for like A couple minutes. It's like 20 minutes, and then it's like at 375 or 400 degrees for about 20 minutes, and they ended up tasting really good, and they get really crispy like chips. That's why they call them kale chips. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in today to Tasty Time with me, DJ Jazzy J. I'll be here next Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So before I go, I'm going to play one last song. I'm going to play Wagon Wheel by Darius Rucker. So enjoy this song.
Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers. And I'm hoping for Riley, I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama. I pick a banjo now. Oh, no, country winners keep a getting me down. Lost my money playing poker, so I had to leave town. But I ain't a turning back to living that old life no more. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama. But he's headed west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee. I gotta move on before the sun. I hear my baby calling my name, and I know that she's the only one. And if I die in Raleigh, at least I will die free. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock. Southbound train, hey, hey, mama, rock me. Oh, so rock me,
burning. It's your love that I'm waiting on. It's my love.